Hey, good morning to you guys. What a treat to be able to just get up here and share. And I'm gonna forewarn you a little bit. I like to do that just so you guys know when it gets gritty, when it gets a little edgy. I'll try to warn you about it so that you can either leave the room or you can just, you know, plug your ears or tune me out. I don't think you're gonna want to do that this morning. It's gonna be a fun morning, but I will say this. With all of this whole message this morning, if I'll just say it as I felt like the Lord saying to say it, is if patriotism is an idol to you, you will have a big issue with this morning, this message I'm going to bring, okay? And understand that. And then you might be all like, well, I don't know if it is or not. I don't know. So maybe we'll figure that out. Maybe some of it is, maybe some of it isn't. And you don't even give a rip of what's going on in our country. And my prayer this morning is that we will give a rip. We'll give a rip. We'll care. We'll be concerned. We'll understand what it means to be a Christian and patriotic, and patriotic as Christian. In fact, I got a couple questions. It's just real simple. Is patriotism Christian? Just think about that for a second. Is patriotism Christian? It's 4th of July weekend. Come on, guys, get in the spirit. I know I don't have red on anywhere. I don't have a flag shirt or something like, there you go. There's some flag shirts going on. I like it. Saving it for tomorrow. I don't even know if I own one. I don't know. I'll have to look somewhere. How about I'll reverse the question? You guys following me? You guys with me? You awake? All right. Good. I like it. Is Christianity patriotic? Yes. Okay. Yeah, they're all trick questions. Yeah, just so you know. Yes. Hey, that's my next question. I even have it in my notes. It says, so let's find out, let's simplify what patriotism is. Thank you. Must be some kind of vibe or wavelength going on back there. Sound effects even. That was the Holy Spirit sound effect. You just flowed through. Yeah. Come on, guys. Hello. Good morning to you. Come on, let's have some fun. It's hot out there. We only got about another 45 minutes of listening to me, and it will be all right. He's going to talk that long? Really? Here's where I've come up with I feel like it's the simplest definition and understanding, if you will. I don't even want to just call it a definition, but I want us to get an understanding of what patriotism is, where it comes from in our makeup. I believe that. And that's not just because I believe it, because I believe it's actually true that God has created us, and the things and the emotions and the issues of life that we deal with, that we sense and we feel and we operate in, are of God. So I want to, if we get an understanding of where that comes from, I think we can actually place it in a proper place, patriotism that is, where it doesn't become an idol, but yet it becomes a real part of my Christianity. You guys understand that? Okay, well, I said all that to talk about, help us to define it, to understand it. In C.S. Lewis, he writes a book, it's called The Four Loves. It's a book I've read, and it was one of his most boring books I've ever read. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis, he's got a lot better books than The Four Loves. It's a good one. It gives the understanding, but it is really, really boring. You didn't think so, David? Oh, I did. We're different. We are different. And that's my son. And we're that different. Anyway, he talks about this. Thank you, Blake, for piping in on that. Because was he back there in the classroom or something and just heard and came out, walked out? Okay. Oh, okay. He talks about these four loves. I'm breaking down really fast. Is the first one is agape love, which is the love of God. We understand that as, and we've kind of defined that as unconditional love of God, the agape love. And then the second love is a philos love, or a filio love, which in Greek it's a friendship love. It's that connection that we have. It's like a love of brotherhood love. That's where we get the name. You guys heard of this city called Philadelphia? It comes from that word, filio or philos. And that word is brotherly love. And that's what that's when we sense that we experience that with each other, right? Hello? You guys following? Okay. And then there's this other love, which is called an eros love, which is an erotic love. It's a love that that burns in your, you know, that you have a man between a woman, right? I said a man between a woman, right? Amen. All right. Good. A woman between a man. That's all right. You know, that's how it should be. That's the erotic love that is very real. It's very real. It's not evil. It's very real. And it's a part of our makeup. God created us, man and woman, in his image. And so that's very real. But then there's this other love that it doesn't get discussed a whole lot, but it's an intense part of our makeup also. It's called storge love. Like what? Who? Bless you. Storge love. Storge. You guys with me? Storge love is this. It's really where it is where our patriotism comes from. It's kind of an affection, if you will, for the home team. It's kind of that thing that it's our fatherland affections. It's even goes as far as, like, you could say our patriotism for a nation, to as minor as a shirt that you just love and you don't want to get rid of it, even though it's ripped up, torn up, it's got holes everywhere, but you just like that shirt a whole lot, or a pair of slippers, or something that you have affection to, that you just, it's like, I just hold on to it because I like it. Donna and Alfonso back there, she's always trying to throw away his shirts, but he digs them back out of the trash and says, that's not, no, that ain't going nowhere but on me. You guys understand that is a real part of our makeup. You guys understand where I'm going with that? And that's where we get this thing called patriotism. So it's a very complex a part of the love that we have, but it needs to be placed in a proper compartment. It can't be that which it consumes us and drives us, is this storge love. Because if anything, that about this storge love, what I find to be the biggest problem with national patriotism, and we are in this era right now, this day, time frame in which God has placed us in, nationalism, patriotism has become such a hot, debated, controversial issue in our culture than I believe ever before. Maybe you could go back to some time frames and days when, you know, of course, before my time, and when women were solicited to vote and all that was going on. That was a big time in our national history. I wasn't there. That was a long time ago. But I do know that right now we have a lot of hot topics that creates controversy even amongst us as fellow Christians. Right? Right? That we have differing views. I mean, people will, right now, I hear of it all the time, depending on what. As I try to, like, I try not to offend people, but this happens. It's really easy to do. You know, you talk about guns and people they'll start skipping church and hop into a church that believes the way that I believe about guns. I mean, I know people that go to the church that has the same view just on the view of of guns. Hello? Do you think it's hot topics everywhere? Yes, absolutely. I understand that. So, and I'm not even going to tell you mine. I like I said, I'm a guy. I'm a boy. I'm a kid at heart. I like swords and guns and stuff. I don't ever want to shoot anybody or have to shoot anybody, but I like baseball bats and guns and bow and arrows and fishing rods, and I like to use them. I like to enjoy them. Anyway, like I said, I don't want to. I want it to be a fun morning. Here's the biggest problem I believe that we run into when we place storge love or patriotism as a driving force in us is Is it not so evident more than ever that national views and issues are extremely dynamic? What do I mean by that? They are constantly changing whichever direction the wind is blowing, the views are changing. Hello? You guys not see that as clear as a bell? I do. It's like, man, I see it as whatever. And I don't know if it's like, you know, the social media and everything that we have access to every view and everybody's viewpoint and everybody's opinion. And we could, you know, if somebody blinks wrong, says something wrong or right, or and all of a sudden everybody in the world knows about it. And so therefore now we're going that direction. And then boom, the wind blows this. Let's go this direction. And let's jump on that bandwagon. And that's the problem with it that I see, that is, as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, where's my footing stand? I've got to stand somewhere where it's solid as a believer in Christ, as a disciple of Jesus, as what I call myself as a Christian. I need to stand on something solid. So if I try to stand on the views of my country or my city or my state, I'm gonna float. Not only am I gonna float, but I'm gonna get tossed whichever way they go, right? You guys understand that? See, so there's a problem with that. So what I want us to do this morning is just to get an understanding of it and get biblical, right? Let's get BC. Amen. I like that term. I think Vaughn's coined it. I'm gonna steal it and go with it. Let's get BC, biblically correct. All right, so Hebrews chapter 11. How do we get biblically correct? Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start in verse 8. Yeah, this is really a fan. I know, I won't say it, Brian. I promise, won't say it. Really great passage of Scripture. Chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith." Now listen to this. Listen to the understanding of what the writer of Hebrews is doing here. He's establishing this is the way we as Christians are to walk and operate and be a part of the culture and the world in which we live in. So listen to this. Says verse 9, it says, "By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, he says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Huh. "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Have you heard that term before? It's of the Bible, not of national security. Yes, it's a part of it, but of what we do here now, but it's biblical, it's scriptural, of the homeland. They seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What is God the Holy Spirit saying this morning? I'm going to say it a bunch because God the Holy Spirit saying it, is he is intent, if now not ever more before than ever before. I don't know, that was a weird sentence, but it just came out that way. He's intent on reminding us, his people, who says that God is our God and he is not ashamed to call us his people. He's reminding us that our earth, our land, is not this which we place our feet on. This is not our homeland. He's reminding us that we are of a heavenly dwelling. We do not belong here. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. We are just passing through. We are sojourners. And we are looking forward to that heavenly city. We are looking forward to that homeland which God is building for us and developing right here and now. At this very time, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that I can bring you to it. And he hasn't brought us to it yet, so that means what is he doing? I'm thinking he's doing a really good job. And I'm like, man, he's building the most fantastic city of cities, the holiest of holy cities, the new Jerusalem, the new world that's going to come down, and we're going to dwell in this new world in a new heaven. That's fantastic, beyond comprehension, beyond even describing. Yes, there's places where he describes like the size of it and kind of what it's made of, you know, as far as gold and jewels and that which is going to light it up. We don't need a sun anymore. He says that. That's kind of weird. No more sunburn, but yet at the same time being just impressed with constantly the glory of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is seeking to know this, to be known to his people. We don't belong here. We don't belong here. Don't make this it. And that's why it gives us, doesn't it give you just a, I got to tell you, it gives me that, because if I get caught up in this and what this is, this world and this, the mess that this is and the mess that we are in and the mess that we have made and the mess that, and Satan's rule of it. And I've got all that here. It's heavy and it's depressing and it's difficult. And what's that? Hopeless even. But when I set my eyes on him and that heavenly city and that this isn't it and we're just passing through, this is nothing. That's why Paul could say, this is just light stuff. This is nothing. You could beat me all you want. You could throw me in prison. Yeah, I don't care. I could get whatever. This is light and momentary trouble. This is nothing, because I'm longing for that city, longing for the presence of God. And I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is another fantastic passage of the same type of thing. Verse 4, start there. The reason I've got about 15 verses here, because I couldn't just get to the final verse without giving us the context of what he's saying in here. It says, coming to him, let us come to him as a living stone. Oh man, how do you even stop at that? I must. A living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I've always interpreted that and kind of digressed on that personally as Jesus is a massive rock. You can either stand on him or be crushed by him. I choose the above part. Amen. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How can you not love that? That's powerful. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in this world and what this world offers. It's empty. It's fruitless. It's even pointless. Abstain from these fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's patriotism. To me, that's patriotism correctly, biblically lived out. Hello? God is God, and that where God has placed you is to be in a place of glorifying God in a nation, in a state, in a city, in a neighborhood, in a home. Take it exactly that and bring God glory in all things, in all areas. Amen? Amen. In fact, I want to just I'm going to just move through this, because that whole passage of scripture, I know this is very true, because I know this is the truth. It's God the Holy Spirit speaks way more than the words that come out of my mouth to your heart and to your spirit. You guys understand that? Listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you through the Word of God, through even ideas and thoughts that come to you. God the Holy Spirit is speaking something a lot more than what I'm saying. In fact, I say this publicly. If all you're getting is the words that I'm saying, you're not getting all that much. I mean, it's okay, but it's not all that much. You get a lot more from God the Holy Spirit. Hello? You guys with me? Jesus says this in Luke 4:26, and I'm going to reword it in my words. If your storge love for me, if your storge love for me and my kingdom isn't so overwhelming that compared to even your storge love for your family, your friends, your country, your state, your city, if it's not so overwhelming that it is as hatred, then you really are not even worthy of me. That's what he says. Listen to it. I'll read it, or pop it up there, Mike. Luke 14:26. I did? Or I forgot the teen? Okay. In fact, I challenge you, if you dare, read all of Luke chapter 14. It is the most convicting and challenging chapter of the Bible that I run into on a regular basis. If there was a chapter I could rip out, it would have been this one, but I can't seem to do that. 14:26 is, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's heavy with a capital H, isn't it? That's heavy. See, I believe again that what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say is we are citizens of heaven. We are sojourners and pilgrims on earth, which is a fallen and corrupt world that is in the hands of the enemy, Satan himself. He is the god of this world. But here's what the Holy Spirit wants us to and remind the next concept. We are going to spend eternity in a new heaven, in a new earth, where Satan will not exist. He will not be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sin will not be there either. Double hallelujah. Right? But see, with that, listen to this. That is what causes us to be aliens here. Why is that? Because the God of this world, he holds such an extensive sway. In other words, he causes things to go this way and that. And we see it in the systems of this world. That even that in us, it's, and sin is so permeating everything that exists. It's kind of like I've said it before. It's like you can't swim around in the ocean for a couple of hours, or even for more than that, a day, a couple of days, and just swim around in the ocean without having residual effects of salt water in your system. You will have it. It's in it. We are in it. It is in us. And that's why it causes us to get this. We get this term of aliens and strangers, because inside of us as Jesus' disciples, God the Holy Spirit is giving us a longing for something that's greater than that, to be out of that. God the Spirit is holy. And that's why we long for holiness. That's why the Bible talks about the earth groaning and aching to be out of this curse, to be out of the corruption. The earth, the world that exists, I want to tell you this, this is a very true truism. The actual earth remembers what it was like to be perfect. That's intense. What kind of thought is that? That's wild. How can the earth groan to be that which it was made to be, perfect? It's that it remembers that what it was like in the garden with Adam's perfect feet walking on it, caressing the trees, lying in the bushes and on the grass. That's what it was created for, to hold God's perfect creation, man. And it is longing itself for that time again. And it's going to get it again. Hallelujah. And that's why we struggle. We struggle is because we're in the midst of it. Jesus, see, our longing is to be home with Jesus. Our longing is to be home with Jesus in the presence of his holiness. In the presence of his holiness. That's why we war, we struggle, we battle, we fight against even our own selves. Holiness, listen to this, is the native air of heaven that we long to breathe. Did you hear that? I want you to hear that again, because that's pretty cool. Holiness is the native air of heaven that we long to breathe. Wow, just, and this is why, if you're a disciple of Christ, and I want you to, this is where it gets gritty, so I'm just warning you a little ahead of time. It's why I hate my sin. I hate it. I stand up here and I say, I hate my sin. I hate the control that it has over me. I hate that it even exists. I hate that I stumble and I fall and I trip and I just make a mess of stuff in my own mind. I hate it because it's not a part of me anymore. I hate it. And I'm going to say this as a side note. You do not, and anyone in here does not have a right to hate anybody else's sin until you hate your own. What? Thank you. And I don't even know if we ought to hate other people's sin. We ought to just get stuck in hating our own sin. I think we got a lifelong of hating our own sin. We don't have to worry about hating other people's sin anyway. I think Jesus said it is like, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye because you got a log in yours. That means a log coming out of my eye is going to take a while to carve out. Hello? I still carving. Still carving. And I think I still got a long way to go. The lust of this flesh and the pride of this life, man, seem to just knock me to and fro just about every other day, if not every other hour, if not every other minute. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to know how you can tell where your strongest devotions lie? Do you? There's a little bit of a formula that we could figure it out here from the Bible. If you guys will follow me. I'm asking you the question. You kind of got to want to know. I mean, or else you could, you know, just say, well, you could pretend that my intentions are different than my actions, and therefore, please just look at my intentions and don't ever look at my actions, because that's, you know, what I would like you to do. I'll look at your actions, but, you know, I won't, you know, I want you to look at my intentions, right?
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's go there. I asked you if you want to know.
Nobody said yes.
A couple people did. I guess we're going there anyway, huh? Yeah. You may say, how are you going to get this out of that? But listen to this. It's actually, I think it's pretty good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, therefore what? We got to go back, right? Yes. Talking about doing good to each other. Do not be deceived. I'm going to go to verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So how can we use this as a measure, if you will, as to finding out where our devotions lie, our strongest devotions lie? I'll just break it down like this. Have you ever been in a conversation with a stranger, met somebody maybe that you didn't know, you did know, you maybe acquaintance, maybe a stranger, and you started talking about hot topics or issues of the day, or you started talking about real things in life, such as a spiritual walk and faith in God and stuff that's going on, my aches, my pains, my hurts, my emotional stresses, the stuff of life, right? Have you ever been in those places where it just seems like God just opens up a conversation with that person at some point? Yes? Yeah, so, that's good. Here's where I want us to understand. If there is if your strongest devotion and connection is to people of faith, people of Christ, then that's where your strongest devotions lie. Catch it? Really quick, did you catch that? If your strongest connections are people who are fans of the same team that you like in baseball or football, then you could say that's where your strongest devotions lie. Let's take it a little bit farther. If your strongest connection are people who wear a red, white, and blue shirt and tote a gun on their hip or whatever, and that's who you connect to strongly, most, you know what I'm saying, the strongest, then that's where your devotions lie. Strongest. You guys following me with this? What he's saying in that is that he says it in this way as a command, as an order. Do good to all. Look for opportunities to be salt and light. I think Jesus said something like that, right? Do good to all, but especially connect to each other. Especially connect to where you look for opportunities more so than ever before to bless, to be a part, to connect, to help, to pray, to love, to even share your own stuff in the safety of others that are of Christ. If that's where your strongest devotions lie, then I will say this, is that's where your strongest devotions lie, in Him. When we are devoted to Him, and that's why He says it, if your devotion to Me isn't as hatred to everything else, then you really aren't even worthy of being My disciple. That's a different message altogether than you would hear maybe in a whole lot of Christian churches today. Because the watered down milquetoast message of today is just come to church. It's going to be great. There's a good message here. We're going to lift you up and make you feel really good about yourself. And if you make you skipping out the door and make sure that that message is so predominant that as soon as I don't make you feel that way, you're like, I'm going somewhere to make me feel good about myself. You guys are a bunch of right? Maybe I'm just not seeing it as, I don't know. Here's the, well, yeah, amen. Yeah, absolutely. Couple last statements in scriptures. Did you guys catch that, though, in finding out where our devotions lie? Hello? Pay attention to your own self. That's a new one. I know, huh? I like picking on everybody else, not myself. You guys know I'm being kind of... I'm having fun. Come on, you guys with me? All right, praise the Lord. Amen. As Christians who are not of this world, sent into the world, yes, we are. And I got to say it again, and I said it, I think, a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, but we are salt and light. And that's what, Paul says a whole bunch of things about us as Christians. He refers to us as God's field, God's building, all kinds of things. Oh, my favorite one that Paul says is we are God's aroma. You either stink or you smell good. I like that one. That one's a funny one to me. I like that one because it's right? We are God's stench. Fragrance. Thank you. That's a nicer word than stench. It does, huh? Well, some people see us as that way. Let's But I've only found in Matthew where Jesus, He declares us to be two things, and that's really it. That's the only thing that He declares us to be. In all of the times, in all of Scripture, in all of the places that He taught, I declare you, I proclaim you, I speak My word, which Jesus' word is a pretty good word. I mean, it's the word that created all of that exists, the entire universe and universes that exist. And He says, you are. He didn't say, you ought to be, or you should be, or I really would like it for you to consider this, friends. He said, no, you are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So He's speaking a truth into existence that is the truth. We are, as disciples of His, the salt and the light of the world, which is the world we live in, is a decaying world. So therefore, that's where the salt comes into play. And it's a dark world. That's where the light comes into play, right? Amen? And as disciples of Jesus, we have an obligation to each other. Yes, we have an obligation to be salt and light in the world, a decaying and dark world. But we also have an obligation to each other to be heavenly patriots. Heavenly patriots. What's that look like? In fact, James, Peter, and Paul all say it in a way that's pretty brutal. It's pretty harsh. They say it, if you're not taking care of, compassionately considering your own people, especially your own family, your own friends, those of the faith, if you're not taking care of those which are of you, your faith is dead. You are worse than an unbeliever. That's what all the writers of the New Testament proclaim. That's what heavenly patriotism looks like. Again, God the Holy Spirit is fervently reminding us that this is not our homeland. Our homeland, and that's why we can, let's team up together. Let's get there together safely. Let's get there together. I mean, maybe that's not, I don't want to, no, that's not of God. So we're not going to get there safely. There's no promise of that. But let's just get there, right? That's what Hebrews 11 says. He says they looked for it, but they didn't get it here because they were constantly looking for it there. Now I want us to take it a little bit deeper, real quick, a couple of deep things. Because I think this is, it's taken even to a personal level of, I opened up with describing the four loves. Right? The four loves, which are what? You guys remember? Anybody remember? Agape love, God's love, phileo love, brotherly love, friendship love, eros love, which is erotic love, and then storge love, which is really patriotic love. It's love for the things that I hold dear, the things that I like most, the things that here's the word that I think fits it. Storge love is the things that fit you. Hello? Right? I mean, when we stop and think about that, it's like, yeah, that storge love, things that fit you. Why do some of you, really, a certain kind of music fits you. Right? It fits you because it's what you like. You like it. You just enjoy it. It fits you. And then it's like that same kind of music just doesn't fit certain other people. That's okay. We don't have to bash on people because I personally don't care for country music. It doesn't fit me. I know. It's okay. Do you boo me? I'll boo you back. He's still my brother. That's right. It's not going to change. But here's the deep part that I want us to believe and I want us to hold on to. Jesus said it this way. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his wording was, all things will be added to you. And the wording that I want us to hear to and cling to this morning is, if we allow God's love to completely consume us, permeate us, swallow us up, and if you dare, I'll say this word, if you dare to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just fall back in him. That's how I get a picture of that. I would do it, but it'd hurt. Just fall back on God. If you dare to allow his love. And you don't have to understand it, because that's just ridiculous. If you're going to try to understand all of God's love here in this, with this screwed up, crazed up, sinful world in mind, you're going to go nuts. You won't get it. In fact, you'll go either demented or you'll go into heresy because you won't find it. But walk in the love of God that he knows, that you know today. And then take another step tomorrow in that love of God. And take another step the next day in that love of God. Allow it to consume you and engulf you, and his word to just penetrate your soul to where it directs your life. It becomes the light of your path and your walk. I believe this to be true, as Jesus said it, if you seek ye first, all things will fall into place. I believe it to be true. This is really cool. The agape love will put in order your phileo love. That would be cool. The agape love will put in order your eros love. That would be really cool. Right? Think about it. Your agape love will put in order your storge love to where now I will, you guys listening to me with this, I will have a balanced, clear perspective on patriotism, on this country's patriotism, because I'm not looking for this, I'm looking at him, and I'm following him, and I'm loving all people. That's what he tells me to do. Even the ones that are weird and not like me. I mean, the other way around, that I'm weird and not like you, right? Amen. Amen. So let's allow God to do that. Let's allow God to do that even today, here and now. Consume us with his agape love. Are you guys willing? I am too. Me too. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, we invite you. We more than invite you, we welcome you. We welcome you to consume us, to baptize us, to take us over with your love, where nothing is held back. There's no hindrances. There's nothing in the way. And I can experience, I can get a glimpse, a taste. You taste and see that you are good all the time. And in Jesus' name, teach me to walk in your ways. Help me. Help me. Because this world is corrupt. And I've participated in the corruption. And I need your grace. I need your mercy. I want to feel and sense and know your kindness. In Jesus' name, by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.